Good evening, everyone. This is Saturday evening, and you've joined us for the weekly house church services of Pineville Grace Fellowship in Pineville, Missouri. Now, I'm going to have to speak up because we have two air conditioners going. It's still 98 degrees here. It's been over 100 for over a week here during the hot times. I got up to 104 the other day, so it's been very warm. I'm just going to make some announcements before we start. I just sent out an email to a number of people, and I think what I'll do is just read that email. I posted it as well, just as an update as to what's going on with our fellowship. Tom and Tori Adams have disassociated with us because of our stand on not having conference calls with women actively participating in doctrinal discussions. Tom sees it one way and I see it another. We wish them the best. We will be sharing our weekly worship services on our social media platforms, including sermon audio, BitChute, Brand New Tube, YouTube, Facebook, Tumblr, Gab, Reddit, Blogger, LinkedIn, iConnectFX, and our website, LarryWPhillips.com. We did enjoy doing the Bible studies with Tom Adams, and we will continue our Bible studies with my son Mark Phillips on Sunday evening and Tuesday afternoon. They will also be posted on our social media. We have also disassociated with Adeola, Walt Stickel, and Robert Barrett because of their continued going along with the Arminian false doctrine. Feel free to email me if you have any questions at rothmillerstewart@gmail.com. If you would like a free copy of my book, The Lies of Free Will, just email me and request it, and I will send you a free PDF copy. Also, we are going to be possibly looking at doing a men's fellowship call. This is going to be a men's fellowship call. And any of you ladies that would like to have fellowship with my wife, you, as long as you believe the Bible and are not a feminazi and don't want to try to lord it over men and believe in the sovereign grace of God, I welcome you to fellowship with my wife. If you have an interest in doing that, email me and I will give the message to Rosette and we'll get a connection going between the two of you once a week. But I'm opening this up for anyone who might be interested in having a men's fellowship once a week. It would probably be, I would think it would probably be on Wednesday evening on a Google Connect call. It would be about a 45-minute conference call. And it's for men only. And we will be talking about scripture and doctrine and having a time of fellowship. So if you have an interest in that, email me at rothmillerstewart@gmail.com. Roth, R-O-T-H, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, @gmail.com, all lowercase. And say I'd like to be a part of a men's fellowship. And we'll see if we can put that together. But first, we're going to sing two hymns from the old school hymnal tonight, and we're also going to sing a psalm out of the Psalter. Now I'm going to move this over because I want to make sure that this comes out. So tonight we're going to be singing three selections, two hymns and a psalm out of the Psalter. The first old school hymn that we're going to sing is number 174. 174, and this is entitled As Thirst the Heart for Water Brooks. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. So God, my tears have been my food by night and day, while constantly with bitter sneers, where is thy God, the scoffer say? Where is thy God, the scoffer say? With grief I think of days gone by, when oft I trod the hallowed way, to Zion's praising God on high, with wrongs you kept the holy day, with wrongs you kept the holy day. Oh, why art thou cast down my soul, and why so troubled shouldst thou be? O thou in God, in him extolled, who gives his saving help to me, who gives his saving help to me. Okay, the next one we're going to sing, Mark is selected from the old school hymnal, and it's 112. It's entitled, From Every Stormy Wind That Blows. Where do you get my glasses, I guess? From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide that blows, it's upon a sure retreat, it's found beneath the mercy seat, it's found beneath the mercy seat. There is a place where Jesus sits, for the gladness of our hands, a place of all our earth must be. It's the blood-bought mercy seat. It's the blood-bought mercy seat. There is a sea where spirits quiver, friends hold fellowship with them, and the sound of the like faith and lead us. Round one common mercy seat, round one common mercy seat. Our river could we bleed for aid, can't a desolate dismay, or have the host of heaven beat. Suffering saints, no mercy seat, but suffering saints, no mercy seat. There on ego's wings the soul and sin and guilt seem burning. There it comes down our souls to breathe in. Glory crowns the mercy seat. Glory crowns the mercy seat. Oh, let my hand forbear, still my tongue be silent, hold and still. How do I forget to be if I forget the mercy seat? I forget the mercy seat. Okay, the last one we're going to sing is a psalm out of the Psalter, Rosetta's Chosen, page 39, 54b. And this is by your name, O God, thou save me, grant me justice by your strength. Do these words of
I'm given. Oh my God, hear my prayer. Strangers have come up against me, even in violence, and they seek my life's destruction. God is not in their thoughts. See how God has in my head, how my noise has stained my soul. To my foes he pays that evil, in your truth destroy them all. I will sacrifice with gladness. I will praise your name alone. He has saved me from all trouble. I have looked on all my foes.
Your Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight in this service. And you would restore our hearts, revive our hearts. You know all of the challenges we've had this week, stresses, turmoil, but yet you've still brought us through it all. Pray that you would now open the scripture to us and cause us to be quickened by your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I have been getting a number of emails from a fella that I've known for some time, and he has been asking me a lot of questions about the doctrines of predestination and election. And someone has been planning these scriptures in his mind to... I'm not sure what their motive is. I'm not sure their motive is pure as the driven snow. But he keeps sending me these emails, and it says, question, 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 question. And he proceeds to ask me questions. One of them was regarding the... people's names in the Lamb's Book of Life being taken out of it. another one was having to do with losing your faith. Another one was having to do with in other words, he's full of these questions that is trying to come against. Now, he would never say this. He would say he's just seeking answers, right? But he's trying to come against the doctrines of election and predestination. And I've had my concerns about him and another fellow that I've known for some time. They seem to be becoming more and more immersed in their Arminianism. I'm going to read one of his questions. He says, how does someone who is eternally saved depart from the faith as written in the following passages of Scripture? 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So he says, how does someone who's eternally saved depart from the faith? Well, to start with, he's taking this out of context. because this is speaking about people who may be in the visible body of believers, but are truly not believers. They're reprobates. And they, what they do is they depart out of that body of believers because they are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. That's why they departed out. That's why they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with the eye. It's not that they had saving faith. They were amongst those who had faith, and they came out from them. They departed from them. Okay? The only ones who are going to depart from the faith are reprobates. You know? And the fact is that, you know, the only ones that are... he sent me another one about the those who are on the Broadway that leads to destruction. You know, well, the only ones that are going to find the narrow way that leads to life is if they've been given grace to believe it. The rest will be blinded. That's the answer to your question on that regard. Okay. I'm going to just read some scriptures here that kind of back up what I'm trying to point out to this gentleman. Think about it. You can't have it both ways. You can't have someone who's predestinated and giving everlasting life and then have someone just decide they're going to walk away from it. That's Arminianism. Romans 11:7 says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." That's what happened to these that departed from the people that were true faithful people. They departed from associating with those people and started teaching lies and doctrines of devils. 2 Corinthians 3:14 says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." Hebrews 4:3 says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now, another question he asked, and it seems like this fellow is really trying to figure out how he can circumvent the doctrine of predestination election. Okay, that seems like that's what he's attempting to do with taking these scriptures that he's bringing to my, to this gentleman's attention, to come against the doctrine of election and predestination. There's many instances in the Bible that talk about the book of life, okay? And we read in Revelation where it talks about that those who whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world will take the mark of the beast. Okay? Again, it says those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, there's also a scripture that talks about blotting, that he will not blot out the names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. If you look in Revelation 3:5, well, read that scripture. This was brought up by this person in an email to me as well. He says, why would he infer that their names could be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life if they were predestinated from the foundation of the world to be adopted into Christ? Very close to blasphemy, I think. Here's what it says here in Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The emphasis in this scripture is not on the possibility of a person's name being blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. No, that's the total wrong emphasis. It's taken out of context. The emphasis of this particular passage is the fact that he says he will not blot out his name out of the book of life. He will not blot it out. Why will he not blot it out? Because it was written in there from the foundation of the world. Now, I want to look here at in Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Isn't that pretty clear? Now, who are those that their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who are they? Do we have to go back to Romans again and explain that? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, the children not being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Isn't that what it says? Well, I would recommend that you do a little study on not only eternal life, but everlasting life. When God gave us life, when he brought us from our spiritual death, spiritual life, he gave us everlasting life, not temporary life. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I could go on and I could go in this a little bit more depth, but I'm not going to spend an inordinate amount of time on it. But this gentleman that keeps sending me these questions, I told him, why don't you, what I would recommend that you would do is get out my book, God Does Not Love Everyone, and read it again. Because what it does is it points out all of the scriptures that have to do with this distinction between the elect and the reprobate. That's what it does. And, of course, it's not a popular read. Okay. Now, if you want to do a study on the mark of the beast, you can just go to any Bible, search engine and put in mark of the beast, and you can get your boat loaded, you know, as they say. Okay, now, why is that an important discussion? Because, again, if a person does not have, if a person's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then they are not going to be resistant to taking the mark of the beast. They're gonna freely take of the mark of the beast. And I believe, and I do believe that it is a literal mark, because the Bible says that it's in your hand or in your forehead. It doesn't say on your hand or on your forehead. Where a lot of this is discussed is in the 19th chapter of Revelation, you know, and I'm not going to read through everything, but I am going to read just a little bit of it. In fact, I may want to actually read in the 18th chapter. Talks about the fall of Babylon. Okay, that's what it talks about. And in the 19th chapter, it talks about how that these 420 elders and four beasts fell down and worshiped God. Okay. And, you know, in the 20th chapter, it talks about whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. 20th to verse 15. If we go back even further, we can go back. In the trying to find particularly in the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, I'll start with verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that, now this is the one I want to really hone in on. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who are they speaking of worshiping? This beast, okay? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So this is an answer to this person's question about a person's names being blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. It's an impossibility to have your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, because Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross for all of his elect. And he said, Do I need to remind you what I pointed out to this gentleman, John 6? What did he say in John 6? Okay. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He said, all that the Father hath given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out, is what he says. That doesn't sound like possibility of blotting out one's name from the Lamb's Book of Life if he says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Okay? And so, this is trying to put doubts in people's minds about God's ability to preserve His people. Okay? And, you know, he says in verse 44 of John 6, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay, and he says, it's written by in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Okay, and he also says that in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And he says in verse 65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Okay? And so if God gives us to the Father, you think the Father's going to cast us out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Now I want to look at another quick passage here in John 17. Look in John 17 and look at the second verse there. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It doesn't say anything there about taking us out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He says that he's given Christ power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Okay, now one other passage I want to look at before I close this out in answer to this question that was sent to me in this email. I want to look now at back in the 8th chapter of Romans. The 8th chapter of Romans. And I want to go down to the very end. We all know this very well, but this, again, is a rebuke to those who are questioning predestination election. Okay? Because, first of all, in Romans 8, it says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can blot us out of the Lamb's Book of Life? That's my question. Now, here's another answer. Go down to verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall blot us out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm putting that in there. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's my answer to this gentleman who says, doesn't that infer that our names can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life? No, it doesn't. It says our he will not blot our names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's what I wanted to discuss tonight. I hope I didn't go too long. Do we have a final selection? 478, 417 is being selected, and we'll sing this last hymn before we conclude this. 417 was with an everlasting love that God his own elect embraced before he made the worlds above, or earth on her his columns raised. On there the souls we first at rest, I will share the darkness through. They are his strife could lose them away, but with an everlasting love, then in his love and his decrees, Christ and his bride appear as one. First in my imputation is, while she in spotless splendor shone. O love, how high thy glory swell, how great, immutable, and free. 10,000 sins as black as hell are swallowed up, O love, by thee. Believer, hear thy comfort. From first to last, salvation's free. An everlasting love demands an everlasting home for me. Well, I hope you all have a good evening. And just remember that if you're one of God's elect, I believe in eternal security of the believer. If I didn't believe that, if I believed it was dependent upon my performance or my works, I would be of all men most miserable. But I'm trusting in the completed work of Christ. God bless.